Roll, please.
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Biggs.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments or things you want pulled for discussion?
Good to go. Mayor, I'd move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce.
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs.
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
And that motion carries. That brings us to Ada County Sheriff presentation on jail bond needs. Sheriff, you look different.
I am different. Thank you. Good evening. I'm Joe DeRozier, Lieutenant for the Ada County Sheriff's Office, 7200 Barrister, Boise, Idaho. And on behalf of the Ada County Sheriff, Matt Clifford, it is an honor to speak with you, Mayor Steers, and City Council on behalf of what we are doing at the Ada County Jail. I'm here to talk today about the Ada County Jail and to provide some history and explain what we need to do to make sure Ada County remains a safe place to live, work, and play as our area continues to grow. It's no secret that the Ada County population continues to grow and that doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon. I've been in CUNA for 10 years and we've seen the growth here as well. Now the jail numbers of beds have been at 116 since 2013. When the Ada County population was 416,000. Today, population is 540,000. Compass estimates show that in the next decade, Ada County will have well over 600,000 residents, and we need to keep up. So what does that mean? Let's take a look at the jail population versus Ada County population in the jail. So the jail was built. So our jail was built in 1977. And as you can see, as the years go on, the ratio of jail population versus beds keeps getting further and further apart. During the last decade, the Ada County population has increased 33%, and we haven't added a single bed to our jail. And that gap continues to grow ever widening. Our average daily population currently is 1,000 inmates per day. And at this point, there's no sign that that's going to change anytime soon. Now, I understand that the bandwidth won't allow us to show the video, but I would encourage you to go to adajailproject.org to watch the video of the sheriff. He does a tour of our jail, a virtual tour of the jail, to talk about the infrastructure of our jail and some of the challenges that we're currently facing. But let me talk about that a little bit. So, like I said, our jail was built in 1977. It's been expanded a few times, as you saw on that graph. But in some areas, like our kitchen, our jail warehouse, our booking, and our laundry, those areas have not expanded and have been the same for the last 20 years. Take, for example, our kitchen. Right now, our kitchen staff work to do 4,000 meals a day in a facility that's designed for 1,000 meals. Laundry is in the same boat. Our warehouse is 800 square feet. It's been that way for the last 15 years since I've been with the sheriff's office. We have to manage a 2023 jail population with a 1990 infrastructure. So one of the questions we get asked frequently is, well, who's in your jail? Well, on the screen are some of the stats from this year. But really, who's mostly in our jail are felonies, individuals who present an increased risk to public safety. In 2016, the average length of stay for an inmate was 21 days. In the last 6 months, that number has fluctuated from 30 to 46 days. That means if you're booked into custody now and you do not bond out in the next 24 hours, you will spend about the next 47 days in custody. Now, the interesting fact is that the crime rates in Ada County are not going up, but the population is. And it's that increase in population that's affecting our length of stay in custody. The next question we get asked after that is, well, what are you doing to manage your jail population? Well, we have several innovative solutions, and we've been doing this for a while. So for the last 15 years, we've been looking at other ways to keep people out of custody that don't belong in custody and keep the ones that do belong in custody in custody. And we do this while trying to maintain community safety. So our jail roster shows about 1,000 inmates currently in custody, but we have 1,000 inmates in our jail, but we have about 3,000 in custody of Ada County. Now those 2,000 other individuals are in our alternative sentencing or pretrial or misdemeanor probation programs. And those programs help maintain our jail population low. Now, the nice thing about those programs is it allows individuals to stay in the community and be productive members of society, have the support of friends and family, so long as they follow the rules of the court order. And our programs, such as alternative sentencing, our community transition center, our misdemeanor probation, and pretrial, assist them with doing that. Again, we would have a video to show how those programs help them, how we help them maintain that. Again, I would encourage you to visit the website adajailproject.org to get more information on how those programs work and how they affect not only community safety, but play into our jail population. So how do we catch up and keep up well into the future? So the proposed Ada County jail expansion will add 294 beds in a new dorm space and needed infrastructure improvements in the following areas: our booking and intake area, our kitchen, our laundry, I already mentioned the housing area, a transport center, a warehouse, and a new secured entrance to the facility. The land to build the new dorm and infrastructure is right next to the jail. If you think where the jail is currently at, and you know where Dairy Gold is at and the connector, that dirt space right there, that's where that new facility is going to go. Ada County purchased the land last year and have already paid for the design plans, so what's left is to pay for the construction. If approved, it will cost homeowners about $18 a year based on Ada County medium home price of $500,000. So what's next? Election day. The proposed jail bond will be on the November ballot. What we are asking is for voters to educate themselves on this issue, and as always, go vote and make your voice heard. And to help with that education, here's the website that I've referred to a couple times during this presentation, adajailproject.org, which provides more history, context, and financial information on this important topic. And with that, I conclude my presentation and will stand for any questions or comments from the council.
Okay, question.
Question.
Yes.
Lieutenant, how many of your inmates do you have to farm out to other facilities to hold?
Have to farm out? We don't typically do that on an ongoing basis. Now, we do have a good working relationship with a lot of other agencies, and we do swap inmates at times. We are the largest facility in the state, and so most other agencies don't have the ability for us to move inmates from our facility to their facility. It's typically the other way around. They're asking us if we can take theirs, and lately we haven't even been able to do that.
Is there a cost attached to that?
Yes, every time, yeah, there is a cost. When we send an inmate to another facility, they usually bill us to whatever it costs them to operate their jail or what their inmate cost per day is. Just like if we took one of their inmates, we would charge them one of our, what it would be, our cost per day for an inmate.
Thank you.
Okay, further question?
Lieutenant, I have some questions and statements, I guess. Okay. And thank you for your presentation. The jail is greatly needed. I got to see the other presentation when the sheriff was here during the Ada County Commissioner's town hall. So, first off, when you mentioned we need to educate ourselves, I agree. But I also like to think that I stay on top of the news and social media relatively well. And I am just not seeing a whole lot of activity coming out, pushing out, saying, we need $50 million Ada County. Now, granted, I'm in CUNA, but I also work in Boise. CUNA only makes up about 5% of the population total for Ada County, and so maybe it isn't being pushed out here as hard. Maybe it's Boise, it's a different demographic, or Meridian, and they're more confident, but I just don't see a lot of what is going to be the cause and effect. What's going to happen to CUNA streets if this doesn't pass? What's going to happen to our kids if this doesn't pass? Those type of things, and I guess I'm almost asking or pleading to you, we need to do something, because I have seen one thing in the news. I think it was on a Channel 7 once I saw a commercial for it, but there's no signs, and I guess I'll turn that around to you that CUNA has had some bonds recently that have failed for our own kids, going to school district, trying to get a school bond passed for our own kids. And now there's a jail that it desperately needed, but it's 20 miles down the road. It's going to be a hard sell to CUNA. And again, maybe CUNA's just not looked at as hard as Boise is. I mean, the population is there. But if we want to get this word out, I would, you know, slam that social media and help educate people, because, you know, you do want to educate people. You want people to educate themselves. That's asking a lot sometimes.
And I absolutely agree with you. And I will tell you that when we looked at how best to educate the public, and we have to be kind of I don't want to say strategic is really kind of the best way to do this, and make sure we don't overwhelm the public with a lot of information, and do it in a manner that again kind of builds upon itself. There is a plan to do that, and we are doing that. Part of that, first off, is these kind of meetings. Social media is one way to do that, and that is coming. A lot of it is face-to-face. I will tell you that just tonight, there are 7 different meetings going on. That's why the sheriff is not here tonight, but there's 7 of us that have gone out and are doing these kind of meetings because for us, it's social media is nice, and that will happen. But it's really important to do the face-to-face, to have conversations, to let people see and hear what that issue is and answer their questions directly. Social media tells you what the issue is. It's hard to get the feedback on really how does this affect me. When there's an open forum where you can have those conversations, that gets it, sets it home a little bit more. But I will tell you the social media posts are coming, and CUNA hasn't been forgotten about.
Well, and I will say there's about 30,000 people in CUNA. There's about 40 people in here right now.
Yeah.
So there's a challenge, and the other part is that early voting is already going on.
Yep.
So we might be a little behind, but I mean, even billboards or something. But you know, I'm just trying to help.
I appreciate that, and I will take that back to the sheriff and have him address that as well.
Anything further?
I don't have any questions, but thank you for your presentation. Right.
Thank you for coming out tonight.
Thank you very much,
Chief. Yes.
Mayor, council members, Mike Fortusco, Chief of Police, City of CUNA, 793 West 4th Street. That's our new address.
New address, yeah.
I would also like to say, if Lieutenant DeRozier does not stick around, if any of the folks in here have any questions, I will be around after the fact if you have questions on this, unless Joe's going to stay. I don't like to keep Joe. Joe's been going to a lot of meetings lately. I attended a meeting yesterday. There was another meeting last night. But like Joe said, there has been a lot of meetings, a lot of social media posts shared. But I will be available after City Council if there are any questions that the public might have on this. Just know that we can't advocate for this bond. We are only here to educate. Thank you.
Two quick things. I do have a flyer that I can leave, and the Sheriff's Office has two other open houses that they're doing at the Sheriff's Office to learn more about the bond. There is one Thursday night at 6:30 and one next Tuesday at 6:30 at the Sheriff's Office, 7200 Barrister, where you can come and hear more about what is going on at the jail and more about the actual jail expansion.
Very good. Well, I appreciate the presentation, and I also appreciate the Sheriff's Office for doing what they can to help facilitate that, other than expanding with the work programs and all of the things that you do. That just makes sense to try and keep that population down. I think you've done an excellent job with it, and we certainly don't want to end up in the same situation they are in Canyon County. That's been problematic for quite a few years, and is getting worse. So thank you very much for coming out tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Consideration to approve case numbers 23-02-CPF and 2304-ZC. Rezone for serving subdivision. Jessica.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Hall, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. The Alliance Serving CUNA requests approval to replat a portion of Latha Subdivision located on the northeast corner of West 4th Street and North Franklin by combining Lot 1 with a portion of Lot 4 and Lot 2, then rezone said lots from R6 medium density residential to C1 neighborhood commercial. This request is in preparation to submit a design review application for a standalone building in which to house the CUNA Food Bank, which is operated out of CUNA United Methodist Church since 1994. Upon review, staff finds the request to be compliant with CUNA City Code Title 5 and 6, the Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code 6765. Thank you, and I will answer any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Jessica. All right.
No, sir.
All right, this is a public hearing, and is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter who didn't get a chance to sign in? All right. Bonnie Heinrich. Okay. Well, your name's on here, too, so that works.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Dennis Duran.
Button? Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Dennis Durant. I reside at 8352 South Old Farm Place, Meridian, Idaho, 83642. I happen to be a member of the... What am I a member of?
The Alliance Serving CUNA.
Yeah. The Alliance Serving CUNA. We have a board, and I'm a member of that board, and we're grateful to have an opportunity to serve and partner with everybody in the neighborhood. One of our mantras is neighbors serving neighbors. We want to help CUNA become a much better place. I'm not saying that it isn't a good place already, but we think that together with community and private parties that we can make this a wonderful place to live. Our goal is to just clean up some of the things that have happened in the past with this property. We have a gracious and wonderful donor, Ted Weimer, who has donated the property to the Alliance Serving CUNA so that we can move forward with the food bank. And in the process of his acquiring the property and over the years, there's been some things that, for zoning and other reasons, they just weren't quite right for this building. And so our request is that we can clean up the zoning so that we can move forward with the construction of a wonderful building that's going to serve the needs of the community for a long time. And if you have any questions for me, I'd love to answer those.
Okay, questions for Mr. Durant? No. Thank you so much.
Thank you for what you do.
Becky Miller, did you want to testify? Is there anybody else who wished to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, very good. Well, then I really want to thank everybody for all the hard work on this. The Methodist Church has been so generous in housing that there for so many years, but man, it's just grown into something that is overwhelming. Pretty soon they're going to have to move out of their church if they're going to do something different. So I appreciate, I know all the work that's been going on behind the scenes on this, and I appreciate all you folks for everything that you do. This is such a needed amenity for the city. So the question is rightfully before council. Any further questions or comments when the public hearing is open?
Okay, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries.
I mean, seems pretty straightforward. It's a good cause, you know, and it's got good leadership behind it, and from Ted all the way down to everyone helping. And it's a very good project, much needed.
I think it's a great move forward, you know, to help. The church has done so much, and now to have an established area to help people come and get nutrition for the kids and their family that are having a hard time, I'm all for it.
Okay, with that, I would move we approve case number 23-02 CPF and 23-04 ZC.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you all very much. Consideration on case number.
One more thing.
What's that? Yes.
You guys are always looking for volunteers, right?
Yeah.
And donations. Thank you.
His name is Chris Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll come volunteer.
All right. Consideration on case number 2301 CPF and 2303 ZC rezone for Hagler subdivision. Jessica.
Hello again, Mayor and Council. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Hall, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Applicants request comp plan approval to re-subdivide Lot 2, Block 1 of the Faith subdivision into three total lots and rezone from A, Agriculture, to R2, Low Density Residential. The intent of this application is to provide additional lots to the applicant's adult children so they may care for their parents as they age in place. Lot 1 is proposed to be 1.68 acres, Lot 2, 1.39 acres, and Lot 3, 1.93 acres, which all exceed minimum lot size requirements within the R2 zone. The existing residence is served by a private well and septic system, and the future lots are also proposed to be served the same way, which has garnered support by the city engineer due to the distance to city service connections. An east driveway is to be shared by lots 1 and 2 of the subdivision and will be improved to 25 feet wide, and the future driveway for lot 3 will be required to be installed near the west property line and will be 20 foot wide. Both driveways are required to be paved at least 30 feet into the site per ACHD. Upon review, staff found the request to be substantially compliant with the comprehensive plan, CUNA City Code Title 5 and 6, and Idaho Code 6765. With that, I can answer any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Jessica? And Jessica was recently married, so when I looked at the name on the agenda, it threw me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been a long time, no see.
All right. And I didn't have anybody to sign up and to testify on this matter. Is there anybody who wishes to that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right. Very good. Well, I think this is one of those that I think we've always been very supportive of, where a family can split their lots into making places for their own family members to live, and I think that's something that is something good for us to do. So I appreciate that. Anybody have any further questions?
I do not.
Oh, okay. No, sir. I move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I would move we approve case number 23-01 CPF and 23-03 ZC.
Second. Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve park impact fee contingency request for Helen Zamzow Park, Bobby Withrow.
Mayor, you missed item C under public hearing.
Oh, I did miss one. Back up. Consideration to approve case number 23010A. Ordinance amendment. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. This is a continuation of the request for consideration from the Council for an ordinance amendment to combine Title V zoning regulations and Title VI subdivision regulations into one development regulations title. The changes to the proposed public hearing process procedure requested from Council at the September 19th meeting have been updated and included in Exhibit 2.15 of your staff memo, requiring a public hearing with the City Council for annexations, rezones, comprehensive plan map amendments, development agreements, planned unit developments, combinations, plats, preliminary plats, ordinance amendments, vacations, and variances as currently established in City Code. Exhibit 2.15 also shows two small changes that were only made to correct typing errors on pages 55 and 234. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug.
Everything looks good to me.
No, they fixed what we talked about. Yeah. So that's what I was concerned.
Okay.
Closed. So we already closed the public hearing, so we can just vote then, right? It was pending the changes.
There wasn't any public hearing. The public hearing was closed.
Okay. Okay, then I would move we approve case 23-01-OA.
I'm sorry to intervene. We did have a request from somebody in attendance to reopen the public hearing to take more testimony on this matter. If council chooses to reopen the public hearing for additional testimony, then it needs to be republished. As would a normal public hearing, because the public hearing's been closed. That was the gist of the conversation that was occurring while we were delaying, but wanted to make sure Mayor and Council were informed of that request.
Thank you.
So we made it stricter last time. I wasn't at the I wasn't at the 19th of September meeting, so.
Yes, everything that you had mentioned. That
well, and we actually took it a step further.
Yeah, we continue to have
a step further than what I had requested.
We took it a step further because of public testimony. And we went ahead and went with their suggestion, so I'm not quite sure why we're reopening it.
They did not provide specifics as to what they wanted to add or change or to have you consider. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that that request had been made.
Are they present?
They are, but we wouldn't be able to take testimony. The best we could do would be to table the matter, just at least move on to the others and perhaps have the director find out specifics, or you can table again to the next meeting, or you can just continue.
What do you think?
Well, the only other thing would be is if we would want to direct that person to meet with staff and see if there's substantial changes or something. Otherwise,
just move it to the end of the agenda, or just move it to.
Mr. Mayor, if I may?
Yeah.
So for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, if we wanted to receive any additional public testimony on this item, since it's an ordinance amendment, it would need to run in two consecutive cycles of the CUNA Melbourne News. So we couldn't receive any additional testimony until it would be published in the newspaper.
Okay.
Well, I would assume it's a very good reason. We did have two public hearings already for this, but going to hurt anything to run it again other than cost money for printing charges. I hope it's a really good reason.
What do you think?
I'm inclined to just pass it, but it's up to you guys.
I mean, honestly, it's very similar to what we had been doing, and I think we're pretty good about listening to public testimony.
Yeah, like I said, I'm at a loss because we fixed everything that was brought up in the public testimony. Sure what else there is that we need to delve into. And I hate to prolong this another
month.
Well, you know, another thing we could do is if you would like to get through this and not have to go through the expense of advertising, I can meet with the person and find out exactly what the issues are, and then we can look at that and take it up with staff and see if there's something. Then we wouldn't be in the middle of a public hearing testimony type thing. It would just be future.
I mean, I think
that does that sound reasonable from the attorney?
Legal input?
Kelsey Briggs, city attorney, White Peterson, 5700 East Franklin Road. Just bear in mind that from the information that staff shared with me, public notice requirements were followed on this. So if you do choose to reopen the public hearing, obviously, as they mentioned, we'll have to pay the publication costs to renotice and push this out another, you know, at least 2 to 3 weeks so we can follow that consecutive weekly noticing. If commissioners were so inclined to move forward today as was originally planned, Mayor, you would absolutely be free to meet with the individual to speak to them about their, you know, personal concerns. However, if we move on this item and decide based on that conversation, Mayor, that there's an issue, we just end up right back in here and kind of start all over again. So,
sure.
Again, I'm not going to go so far as say that there is no correct course of action here. You just have some significant discretion. So it really is just what you feel comfortable with based on the fact that noticing requirements have been followed, public hearings have been held, and you've worked with staff. So really it's just what you're comfortable with.
Okay. Okay, well, I always want to hear what the citizens have to say, so I think I can do that afterwards. Would that be, I'm not sure, the requester, would that sound reasonable by head nod?
Mr. Mayor?
It wouldn't change anything me talking to you because you would have already made your decision.
We're talking about tabling it.
No, we could reopen it too. We could have it totally start over the process. But I want to ask Doug, can you give us the Cribs Notes version of what was and what is supposed to be, or what would be? We have the big long version. I don't know if everybody read it, but for people's edification, this is the way it was before. This is what we're doing, what the code is going to change to.
For the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning. So it would be pretty difficult to give the cliff notes on everything because I think it's a total of 284 pages of amendments. It is the entire development regulations title. A significant portion of it was not changed. It was just changes to specific code sections, which they were made available in your packets. They have been on the city website since after the open house. We held an open house on the code rewrite. We had two public hearings with the Planning and Zoning Commission. We had two scheduled public hearings that we held with the CUNA City Council. And then we brought back before you after the public was closed the specific changes to the public hearing process procedure. But yes, and overarching some of the things that were changed is there were some changes made to definitions, the decision-making authority process table, the public hearing process, which is what we've mostly dived into the past few meetings, the official schedule of district land use regulations, the introduction of overlay districts for a downtown overlay district and an East CUNA industrial overlay district, changes to some parking requirements, the removal of lot splits from code and changes to the lot line adjustment sections and some changes to the landscaping code.
So I guess, thank you, Doug. If the concern is significant enough, should we pass this? If the concern is significant enough, we just start the same process that Doug originally went through with this.
Well, it would still have to be noted and advertised and all of that.
Right.
It would just shorten up the discussion as to what it is.
Even if we table it to the next meeting and then you had the discussion with her? Does that put us back to?
Yeah, I don't know that that's actually going to help because I'm taking testimony and I can't do that.
Right, that's what I'm asking, yeah.
If we pass it tonight, I could meet with the concern and find out what that is and then we can even just have a discussion on it later to see if it's something we want to reopen all this for. Either way, we would have to re-advertise and public hearing and all of that. So we could reduce it hopefully from this entire thing to one issue.
So you were saying, Chris, that you would possibly table to the next meeting?
I mean, we want to make sure
based off the feedback that the mayor gets and make the decision then.
That's what he's saying, we can't. Yeah, because then he's taking testimony.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mayor, I would amend my agenda to include that you just meet with the concerned and report back to council and motion stands to pass current 23-0108.
What was the motion? To
pass the current motion, direct the mayor to meet with the concerned citizen, and then he can report back to us if it's something we need to revisit or maybe it's something they can figure out.
Or if it is something we'd have to revisit it.
We'd have to redo it anyway, so.
It'd go right back to Doug.
Right.
And I can touch on that if that's all right for a second. So, yeah, for the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning, after the mayor met with it, and if we decided that was something we wanted to change in code, it would actually have the opportunity to be heard once again by Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council to make that specific change to whatever code section if the council wants to move in that direction.
Right. Thank you, Doug.
I look at this two ways and I'm perplexed. One, we've already addressed the issues that were brought up and we fixed them. So I'm not quite sure what else we need to bring up. But then again, it's just words on paper, and if the citizens want to redo it,
what do you want?
It's just paper.
So do you want to?
In ink.
Yeah, you want to open the public hearing? You want to pass it and then speak? Or if we decide to open the public hearing, we would just table it until you noticed it again?
Yeah, so for the record, Doug Hansen, if we decided to reopen the public hearing, the soonest we could get it on another agenda with noticing requirements would be November 21st.
It would go back to P&Z?
That would all depend on the nature of the changes proposed. If there are substantial changes, it would likely have to go back to P&Z, which means it's likely that we wouldn't see this again at City Council till New Year.
Well, is the world going to stop if we don't change this today?
Yeah.
It might. Look at the way things are going.
They can't even figure out a speaker up there. I'm open for hearing what they have to say. You know.
I am too. It must be important is what I keep thinking.
Doug, I appreciate all your work you've done on this, and we just haven't got very far with it.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, would you prefer that the item be re-noticed and be remanded back to Planning and Zoning so that they can hear what the concerns are, so that if it is a substantial change, it doesn't have to be noticed for Council, then back to P&Z, and then back to Council? It would just go, be remanded straight back to the Planning and Zoning Commission to hear the concerns, and then back to the City Council?
Just come straight back to Council.
If it comes straight back to the City Council, if it's a substantial change to the material, Planning and Zoning Commission would have to hear it again. So then we'd have to notice for the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So this could be addressed at the Planning and Zoning level?
It could either be heard by you if it's a substantial change, anything other than essentially typing errors, any substantial change, it would then need to go back to the Planning and Zoning Commission and then back to you for your final decision, or If you want the public testimony to be delivered, you could remand it directly back to the Planning and Zoning Commission now so we could notice for the next Planning and Zoning Commission hearing possible, and then they would hear that testimony, and then it would come back to the City Council. So it would go Planning and Zoning Commission, City Council, not City Council, Planning and Zoning Commission, City Council. Does that make sense? Yeah. It would be a two-step process as opposed to a three-step process.
I just kind of look at it as if it did come back, just like if this were the public, if it was still open today, we would be hearing it right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why I guess I'm not as concerned with sending it back to P&Z.
It sounds like the court this way.
So do you want to... Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a motion. Did we have a second on that motion?
Pass it. No. And then have them meet with the mayor.
Okay, so that motion dies due to lack of a second. Do we have a subsequent motion?
So I guess my motion would be for us to rescind it back to Planning and Zoning for it can be opened up and the citizens could voice their opinion, and then if it's anything changeable, they can do it and it'll get brought back to us for approval or disapproval.
So you want to send it back to P&Z then?
Correct.
Okay, because I thought we were going to just have it come back to Council, table it, and have it come back up back to us.
She said it's got to go to P&Z.
It has to go, okay. Because that's what I was saying, if the public hearing were open today, it was still open right now.
We could hear it, but yeah, we've already closed it.
Okay.
Unless we open. We can open it back today and listen to her.
No.
Do we have to notice
it? It can't be reopened because it wasn't.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Otherwise, the rest of the public isn't aware that it's.
Yeah. Let's do that.
There might be 400 people that want to join.
Second.
All right, so the motion is to send it back to planning and zoning for consideration.
Does that work, City Attorney? I love it when a plan comes together.
All right, and did we have a second?
Second.
He seconded.
Okay, motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now, consideration to approve park impact fee contingency request. Bobby Withrow.
Mayor, Council, for the record, Bobby Withrow, 371 Shoreline. In March, Council approved $500,000 to start Helen's Amzos Park. I want to report that we accomplished what we set out to do. Unfortunately, I did go over budget, and so tonight I'm requesting funds to cover what we went over budget-wise. Some of the, I'm going to say reasons, but some of the contributing factors was the price of concrete, the city pressurized irrigation system that is up to public work standards, and the equipment rentals. As you know, we don't have a lot of the big equipment that we needed, so we did have to rent that stuff, and we used it longer than anticipated. I tried to get most of you out there before making this request so you can see the what we've been able to accomplish. Mr. Councilman Biggs, I do need to get you out there. I will note that looking over the projected or how much it would cost from JUB originally, we did the work of about $2.2 to $2.5 million so far. So we're saving the money, or excuse me, we're saving some money doing it in-house. With that, I stand for questions.
Well, we added the playground and the pickleball court too, right?
We have not yet. That'll be in phase two.
Yep. Okay.
The bigger equipment you use, is that to rent?
Yeah.
Okay.
In our rental costs, we had close to $100,000 in rental costs this year for the project.
And that project was originally budgeted at $10 million?
Yes.
We really can't leave a park unfinished, can we?
Nope, and we'll continue to work on it.
Is this work that you can still accomplish when the weather starts getting worse?
Councilman Big, yeah.
Thank you.
It looks great over there. I think the kids are adults, kids, all of them.
Well, there was enough request for those types of fields last year that we were even out helping the school district to do some maintenance on some of theirs so that they could get more fields opened up, and there's definitely a huge need for it. So.
For the recreation areas for the kids?
From the housekeeping standpoint, Jared, where do we stand on contingency funds if we accommodate this request?
So, Councilman Biggs, so I believe that this is meant to be a park impact fee contingency request, and currently there's about $2 million of park impact fees that remain. So that's how much we have in the fund currently.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, sir.
Any other question? John?
Nope. Okay. I would move we approve the park impact fee contingency request to remain working on the Helen Zamzo Park.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Thank you.
Item B, consideration and ratification of contingency funds. Chris Ingalls.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. before you, there was the request for ratification of contingency fund use for the CUNA Police Station. Construction is complete. And the only other thing that we're waiting for is the generator, which is on back order. We are finishing up with Computech, but we already have a contract with that that's already been allocated in the budget. The budget amount is for the budget for tonight ratification is $37,733.32. As of this date, we've used a total of $95,812.08. You originally allocated $440,174.70. That was 30% of the budget. The remaining that we are not using and is not being allocated anywhere else is $344,362.62. That money just stays in the contingency fund. And I stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Chris?
That's fine.
Thank you.
How do you like it over there, Chief?
Councilman Bruce, I don't know if you've been at our old substation, but it is night and day.
For sure.
Yeah.
We can get you some of those.
All right. So we just need a motion to ratify.
Okay. I would move we approve the ratification of contingency funds.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Always good to put those back in. All right, consideration to approve ordinance 2023-23, municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real property, to wit, Ada County Assessor's parcel number R73210001, owned by Johnny T. Swanson and Valdine M. Swanson, within the unincorporated area of Ada County and contiguous to the corporate city limits of the City of CUNA, into the City of CUNA, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real property and directing the city engineer and the city clerk and providing an effective date.
Mayor, this was part of my annexation, so I should probably recuse from voting on this.
Okay.
This was the touch that put me in the city limits, so right. It's all part of my deal, so I'll just abstain from voting on this.
And so this is just a ratification of the action that was taken.
A motion that we waive three readings of Ordinance 2023-23.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
A motion we approve Ordinance 2023-23.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce.
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs.
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson, you're abstaining.
Correct.
That motion carries. And we need a motion for summary publication on this one?
No, sir, because it's a land use.
All right. And that is all we have on the agenda tonight.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
I never let you do that.
For discussion on that, real quick, before yeah. that, I just want to give an update on the CUNA Youth Council. We had we had 19 applications, and we're planning to review those applications on Thursday, and decide from there how many kids we'll represent. I mean, we got a basic framework of how we want it to go, but we have to strike a balance between how many there are, and but we do want to try and involve all of the kids who applied. That's going to be the top priority, but. We'll be meeting with Superintendent Johnson on Thursday, Councilmember Bruce and myself.
Are the kids going to get school credit for this participation?
I don't know. That's a great question. Yeah. But one of the things that they're going to be tasked with right off the bat once they're selected is to make a presentation to City Council and ask for money for some projects and whatnot and stuff. So it'll be a great way to involve the kids in the community, not only with what city government is, but they can also have some projects, you know, out in town to beautify the community or.
I mean, there's a ball field that needs finished, so they could just go help Bobby.
You know, I like when you said they're going to ask for money. Jared made no eye contact.
Well, we just gave Bobby money.
Good. Well, thank you for that.
That's yeah, great. I was actually good. Glad that 19 people, that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my kid was involved in it. He liked it back when.
It'll be nice getting this rolling again.
Yep. Have you guys been able to figure out a date or days and times you can have meetings? That was always a huge problem.
So the school district has offered, I don't know, is Danielle here?
She's gone.
She's gone. Okay. So the school district offered the time and the place. We were throwing 2 weeks, having them meet every couple of weeks at CUNA High School, and the school district would pay for lunch. And they would have an advisor or somebody. So one day, you know, I might be there. The next, you know, Jared might be asked to come there and talk about money and et cetera.
Or even, you know, representatives up the line. Or local representatives, things like that.
Yeah.
That way they can get a feel of civics.
Is Lori Weatherby involved?
Not that I'm aware.
She's a government teacher.
Well, she might. That's my son's government teacher, I think. So that's. But it'd be great to get her involved too, because I told him to throw my name out there. But she, you know, we'd like to partner on things, and this would be a great thing.
Well, good. And so lunchtime kind of is when they'll do it. That's awesome. And that was
they're going to bus them over there.
That was always the problem we had was trying to do it after school, and then everybody had after school activities, and we could never get the coordination right. So
yeah, that's good. Try to make something solid so they can be excused from whatever they're doing. They can come over and do this for an hour and have lunch or something.
Good. Great job. Great work. All right. Well, that's all we have for tonight, so this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.